Blog Talk Radio.
It's championship week, y'all. Let's go.
Woo! 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 Out and back, niggas. Out there for their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong. Just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Man, oh man, oh man. Wake up, Sports City. Wake up, everybody out there across the world wide web. It's your boy TP Timeless back in the building. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the brunch. Timeless is alive. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for at least the next 90 minutes or so in Sports City. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. I'm feeling kind of Sunday. You already know the slogan around here. Championship week. There can only be two. AFC, NFC. AFC has the Bills and the Chiefs going at it, and the NFC is the Buccaneers and the Packers going at it, the Battle of the Bays. And, man, I don't even know how to start this thing off to get there, but, I'm going to save the football for the latter portion of the show. There's a great amount of stuff to jump into. I'm going to try and get to the appetizers as best as I possibly can. I got some rants that I want to throw out there, especially while people try to settle in Sports City. So I'm going to do a lot of this off the hip. But I should be just fine with the way that things went down. Speaking of which, and I don't know how to address the situation. You know what? I'm going to save that to when people start coming in here because I wanted to pick at the guy. I don't really want to say, like, pick at him, but I got to talk my stuff about him. And he's one of the notable people in the sport world, and I'll dig into that as best as possible. So I am going to do the NCAA college basketball, jump into this as best as I possibly can, top to bottom with some of the games. And like I said, I have rants on some of the situations that are going on in the nation, if you will. So Gonzaga takes care of business up against Pacific, winning this game by 46. I'm going to tell you the truth. Mark Few is one of the best coaches in college basketball, but it's like when March comes around or April, well, I just want to say March because he doesn't really make it to April. When he gets to March, somehow, somewhere, a team figures Gonzaga out, and they'll lose. I mean, they lost once in the finals, if I'm not mistaken. I think this may be the year Mark Few gets his championship. I think Gonzaga has what it takes. They have interior play. They have shooters. They rebound. This may be Gonzaga's year, but let me get through this as best as I possibly can because I don't want to get hung up ranting about Gonzaga. The next matchup we have is Baylor taking on Oklahoma State, and Stillwater winning that game by 15. Baylor may be one of the potential teams that can beat Gonzaga, as me speaking that. That's why I didn't want to spill too much in that because Baylor's been playing awesome ball as well. Down in the Big 12, they look like a buzz, so I don't think a team will stop them. I think the only team that probably can is if Kansas does end up playing them again. But Kansas has their issues too. Texas Tech is one of them too. I'm not really sold on Texas. Texas has played some good games, but that game that they lost this year to Texas Tech with Mac McClung, I know him so well, storming that game back, and Texas had a good lead in a great portion of the game and put that to overtime, and Mac closed them out with a game-winning three. And the mistakes that Texas made at the end of the game, I question how they look running into the Big 12 championship. The next matchup, another team that I feel that can contend with Gonzaga, would be Villanova. They beat Providence by 15 in Philadelphia, number three ranked as well, especially another Big East team. You know, as much as these guys fight each other, and to me, the best conference in college basketball, but that's a debatable one. I love to throw that one up. We have an upset. Missouri goes into Tennessee in Knoxville and wins this game 73-64 in the SEC battle. Tennessee has been ranked high. But with them losing this game up against Missouri, Missouri is ranked, so I can't take too much away from what they were able to do. But Xavier Pinson went off for 27 in their arena. I wonder how far back Tennessee does fall, because they have their third loss on the season right now. And there's teams that they, I guess, gave the leg up over because Tennessee was a stout team. But there's teams below them that have better records. So I'm wondering what the committee does, unless they're playing favorites. The next matchup we have is Houston taking on Temple. In an American Athletic Conference matchup, Houston wins this game in Philadelphia 68-51 in a blowout form. And this is where the next game I'm going to is where I have my issues. And I've been, you know, questioning this man. I'm not going to, you know, talk bad about him because he's credible in the college world. Oklahoma knocks off Kansas. Now, this took place in Oklahoma, so I'm going to give the Sooners their credit and give Kansas a tough, quote-unquote, tough situation to try to pull this out. But this is Kansas, man. And this is January. Like, this is January Kansas, where they basically blow a lot of teams out. No matter if they're in Kansas or if they're out of the state, they should be taking care of business. And I know this is a Big 12 matchup. Oklahoma's not ranked. Kansas is a top 10 team. And Kansas has been taking care of business up against Oklahoma for quite some time. And if you look at probably the ratio of how they go, I bet you it paid for Kansas more than it favors Oklahoma. And Bill Self is the guy I talk about a lot. Like, for Bill Self to be the coach of the Kansas Jayhawks and the success that they've had over the years with bringing in recruits and having a loaded lineup year after year, and if somehow, some way Kansas falls short of a championship, he has one championship. He has one run, and that was the Mario Chalmers run. Other than that, it's like he's to me, and it's tough. I'm saying it like it's an easy thing to do to get these guys ready to get to the dance and have them win five or six straight games. I get it. But for the talent that he has on that roster, they should not be losing these type of games. Out of 500 within the conference, and this Oklahoma game could actually catapult Oklahoma to play better ball. But I will see. I want to see if they end up pushing them into the top 25. But if they don't, then it makes it more of a question mark on Kansas losing to a team that just beat them and won't even get pushed into the top 25. So the Bill Self situation, I want to see how that ends up panning out, you know, going toward the Big 12 championship if they can win the conference. But I doubt it just because of the names of the teams that I just said, i.e. Texas, Baylor, Texas Tech. There are some teams there. So, like I said, Kansas could be one of the teams that can knock off, you know, Baylor. But as strong as Baylor's been playing up until this point, I doubt it. The next matchup I have is Ohio State, winning this game up against Wisconsin 74-62, in which this is another blowout loss to Wisconsin. And this one took place at home. So Ohio State had an interesting loss this week, bounced back and played Wisconsin tooth and nail and win this game by 12, in which Wisconsin's been playing well in the Big Ten, 6-3 in play. Ohio State is 6-4 in play within the conference. But I question Wisconsin because Wisconsin has the bigs to, you know, get rebounds, and they score inside and they play good defense. But somehow, some way, some people can end up cracking that defense. Good offense could beat good defense sometimes. And this one took place in favor of the Buckeyes. And I don't know which way Wisconsin goes, because they're going to run into this Big Ten championship pretty soon in that tournament. And it's Ohio State, them, and Michigan, at least at the top of my list. I don't want to miss Michigan State by any means. Of course, Tom Izzo keeps a tough team. But I don't think this is a situation where Wisconsin can get it done. They've lost some very interesting games against the powerhouses within the conference, and I don't know if they can actually get to the Big Ten championship within that tournament. The next matchup I have is Creighton going in. Creighton was at home up against UConn, winning this game 74-66, in which Denzel Mahoney went off for 20 points. I had actually caught some of this game, in which UConn was playing very sluggish and kept it close in the first half, but in the second half, Creighton did enough just to pull away from them in Big East play. The next matchup, we have Virginia winning this one by nail biter, winning this by 2 up against Georgia Tech, 64-62. Looking at the situation here, because I did not catch too much of this game, it's looking like a game-winning shot happened with DeVoe. I'm looking at the highlights of this as we speak. Virginia pulling this off late in the game in an ACC matchup. Georgia Tech has actually been playing decent, but I don't know if they'll, you know, be one of the teams that you're worrying about in the ACC, especially when tournament play comes into play. But I will give them some ground, because they're the team that I will be talking about shortly too. Next, I have West Virginia cruising in Manhattan, Kansas, beating Kansas State by 22-69-47. Also in big or ACC play, excuse me, Syracuse beat 16th-ranked Virginia Tech in Syracuse, 78-60 in the Carrier Dome. I have Maryland going into Minnesota, knocking off the Golden Gophers, 63-49 in a blowout form. This is the team to watch, people. The next one that I'm getting into right now, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, you would think this is the football team. No, no, no. This is their basketball team. They have actually been playing well down this last stretch, I want to say the past week or so, beating Mississippi State by 8, and this took place in Tuscaloosa. Their leading scorer was Herbert Jones. They actually gave up 27 points to DJ Stewart Jr., but did enough to win this game, and completing both halves and winning them, winning each half by, well, not decent margin, but doing enough to catapult this win and hold Mississippi State down. Mississippi State falls to 9-7 with 4-4 play in the SEC. Alabama's 8-0 in the conference. That's why I said this is must-see TV, 8-0 in the conference. The next matchup I have is Clemson visiting Florida State. Florida State wins this game 80-61, in which they win this one by 19 points. And it's funny because I want to say about 2 or 3 weeks ago, these two played each other, Clemson and Florida State, and it was an opposite form. Florida State kept it close. Clemson started to pull away late in the second half and won it convincingly by a double digit, but it wasn't as much as damn near 20 points. Florida State, you know, avenged their loss from the previous matchup, in which Boston Kupervic, the big man, actually went off for 13-10, had a double-double game up against Clemson. I wonder if Clemson falls out of the top 25 because they've been actually doing well, got into the top 25. I hope this doesn't knock them out. They have at least 5 seats to save. We'll see what the committee's up to. We have an upset State going up against Oregon, winning this matchup 75-64, in which Oregon State pulling this one off in big Pac-12 play, in which they're 4-3, and they've actually been playing better basketball than we've seen previously. I really want to say since Gary Payton Jr. has been there about a year or two ago. So they're stepping up, playing 8-5 on the season, 4-3 within the conference. Oregon 4-2, losing their second game within the conference, and 9-3 on the season. And they've actually been playing decent, but I think the loss of big players like a guy like Pritchard and a big game shooter is starting to show. They're 21 ranked in the nation, and losing this game at home in Eugene, I think they'll definitely end up falling out of the top 25, especially up against the state rival. But we'll see, because Oregon State has to get up for this matchup in any sport. There's going to be a rivalry within Oregon and Oregon State. But I want to see what happens today into tomorrow on how they rank it. But I think Oregon will end up falling out. We have a interesting upset. They're calling this an upset, but this is within the Pac-12. But Stanford wins their matchup 73-72. At the buzzer, a buzzer beater, and De Silva looking like the guy that took this act on his shoulders, winning his game by 1 point, 73-72. He had 26-5-4 in the matchup. This took place in the Cardinal Arena. UCLA's 24th ranked. I think they will end up falling out of the top 25 after this loss. Now, we have some games that we could spill into outside of the top 25. Auburn beat South Carolina 109-86. Just trying to get through this top, the upper echelon outside of the top 25 as quick as I possibly can. Arkansas wins their matchup 92-71. Trying to get to it as best as I can. North Carolina wins their matchup against North Carolina State 86-76. They're trying to get their winning ways back under them. North Carolina is 10-5 on the season, 5-3 in conference play. One of the teams that I am questioning, even though they do have a decent record at this point in time. Florida wins their matchup up against Georgia on the state line battle, 92-84. Trying to quickly get there because I got the rant saved up right here next to me. Ole Miss wins their matchup 61-50 up against Texas A&M. Now here we go. So we have a situation in which Louisville wins their matchup in Kentucky 70-65 up against the Duke Blue Devils. Now, it's almost like I'm picking on them because I'm not a Duke fan, and I just want to see people beat Duke. But now, not at this type of clip. Now, I have questions on what's going on, and is it really the status of Duke needing the Cameron Crazies to, like, you know, get their blood flowing? Duke is 5-5 on the season. They are 3-3 in ACC play. There's no way I'm sitting up here calling for Coach K job. Like, just like his contract is, I think he's a lifetime coach until he wants to hang it up. Like, until he wants to put the clipboard on the wall and say somebody else do the job, then do this. This is probably the, and I'm going to say the first season I can remember Coach K struggling out of the blocks, if you will. And I really feel like Duke may end up turning this around just because of the dangers of Duke. But it's like right now, it's like you might as well take advantage of him while he's down. Coach K, the team, they don't really have it. And this goes to show with a team like Kentucky as well, even though Kentucky pulled their game off last night up against LSU, which I have bigger questions right there also. But if you look at this situation, Duke is in the middle of the ACC. There's no strong team out the gun right now for the ACC. Maybe Florida State, maybe Clemson at this point in time, like I said, because Clemson's ranked. But it's usually Duke or North Carolina. You may have Syracuse squeezing in there as well, but it's no clear head and shoulders cream of the crop team here other than just the notability of the team. It's interesting to see Duke like this with no identity, no true shooter, no go-to guy in the paint, no nothing. So it's like people out there in the NCAA, if you're playing Duke, take advantage and I guess force them to take bad shots. It's working. Whatever you guys are doing, it's working. And their 10 games to play, they are sitting at 500. Their next matchup, I wonder if they fall below 500. That is the big question, if they can actually steer this course to keep this above 500. And I'm going to look at their schedule. Their next matchup is up against Georgia Tech at home on Tuesday. So I think this is a bounce-back game, and I think they need a crowd more than ever to get them up. But right now, this is extremely questionable. If Coach K could get this thing turned around. Just like I said, well, between him, Roy Williams, and Coach Calipari being the powerhouse coaches in college basketball, for them always having their teams ready, so on and so forth, this is something that I extremely question at the end of the day. But that was one of the rants that I had. I mean, the other rant that I had was on LSU and Kentucky, and I really don't want to pick on Kentucky because that's something that I do all of the time is, like, get after Coach Cal, but you know, and I can't blame them because it's like the players that come there, they are looking for a better tomorrow. So it's like if they play decent within the season and approach, you know, postseason play, and then next, you know, they get whispers that a team would be interested in them in the league, then they could run off it. So I'm looking at the score right now, Kentucky winning that game, and I was watching this game too. They won that game 82-69. And LSU 10-4 on the season. I really wonder when they're going to break out Shaq's on. Kentucky is sitting at 5-9 on the season. They were 4-9. They were 4-9 like that. And I want, well, I got a lot of wants in these, but it's like I want to see them progressively get better. I feel like they could pull off a string of wins and push it to 500. If they could get to 500, they could save a lot of faith. But if they keep losing games, I don't want to question Calipari's job, but we will see. Okay, so I want to get back into. Oh, I do have somebody here. I was ranting. Calling in by way of the state of Connecticut, I have my co-host, the villain, in the building. Welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Villain, tripping off the meat grind, tripping off the beat, kinda. What up, man?
I'm cooking. I'm cooking as much as I possibly can. I just wanted to get the rant in because I was like, when I seen the Louisville Duke game, I was like, I wanted to get through all of this because the crazy part is, I'm getting through the top 25, and Duke's not there. So it's like, okay, so I have to get through these scores as best as I can, and it's like, okay, let me find Duke and the scores that they had. You know what I'm saying? And you know, when I was watching that,
now you gotta find them.
It's like, right, exactly. That's why I'm like, I can't wait to get that rant out. And it's like personally, like I'm like you, like how I'm giving you the laugh, like I want to see Duke lose games, like the teams that I want to see beat Duke. But now it's like, hold on, like Coach K, like. You don't have that stern look when you're looking down your nose at everybody, and that's that look that just get me fired up. It's like, yo, just beat them. Just beat Duke. Just competitive nature. I don't want to see that, you know, any harm happen to them, or if it's a health situation or everybody battling the COVID situation, then I get it. But other than that, like competitive nature, everybody knock Duke off. I mean, tie them up against the pole and just punch them in the face and do what you need to do. But so something's going on, especially with – I don't even know what team to keep continuing to pick on, but I have to try to leave them alone, but it's the kitchen. I got to cook it up. So it's between either him or Coach Cal. One of them going to get it. And they both wear that royal blue. So anything that you'd like to add before we get away from it? I know that your boys had actually suffered an interesting loss up against Creighton. Your thoughts on any of the games that I've mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, I saw a little bit of the UConn-Creighton game. You know, it was a tough game. I mean, listen, I can't use not having book night as an excuse for longer. They were down early, fought back, got down again, fought back. But then they just couldn't get – it's like they couldn't get their offense in gear, like, late in the game. They couldn't get into sets. I mean, Creighton did a good job of extending the defense. Like when double teaming, trapping, and then basically, you know, really when it was like a pick and roll action or a screen and roll, like extending the ball handler out so that, you know, basically it took more time to get back into the offensive set. So give credit to Creighton. They're a really good team. You know, UConn just didn't look shaky. And I mean, Hurley made some kind of questionable moves lately, especially with Book Night out. Like, who's been, finishing games, the guys not really were hot and then didn't get back into the game. So you got to question that. But for the most part, to be honest, it's tough. It's a tough loss. I mean, against a good team, but, you know, if you want to, like you said, you want to get in that top 25 and you want to start winning tournament games, those are the games you got to win. So it's a learning experience for this team, for a young team, and hopefully they can bounce back and get back into the win column. You know, two tough games. Tough losses against St. John's and Creighton in conference. You know, you don't want to keep that up. You don't want to keep that momentum going.
I'm wondering, because you guys attend that 23, more than likely how booted the committee is. They probably will knock you guys out, but hopefully UConn can get their mojo back. And I'm up here being hopeful for the UConn Huskies. Like, this disgusting. But I'm going to do this for you guys, Forster. I'm going to do this for you. This is an emotional day. This is an emotional day for me. I'm gonna get into that shortly, Sports League. So I need people on my side. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna be on Barry's side for the most part. Okay. So I'm glad that I got him here so I could stir up a lot of the stuff that I was trying to say. That's why I try to run that college basketball here until people started to get in line, because I got a bone to pick, and I know you may like it, you may not. I don't know if you were doing something different or did not catch wind of this situation, but it's about to. Dustin Poirier knocks out Conor McGregor. Now, people, I'm not going to lie. In the fighting world, I'm not even going to lie. I know the UFC. I know the MMA game. I know a lot of the notable names in MMA. I'm more of a boxing fan. I'm down with a lot of the weight classes and divisions. But knowing that Conor had made the jump from UFC MMA to boxing and fighting Floyd for one fight, and, like, I'm thinking that his hands will be better, and, of course, he has different tactics and things that he uses in the octagon, things of that nature. I think he would be sharper. His last fight that he fought was a year ago, last January, and he won that matchup. He took 12 months off to try and fight Poirier, and in a fight. Now, people, I don't know if you've seen this, but the first time that they fought, when he fought Dustin Poirier, it looked like it was so scripted. It was not funny. Please, whenever you have time, go to your YouTube and watch the fight, part one, the first one, of Poirier versus Conor. Conor throws an elbow at Poirier's head. He completely misses. Poirier acts like he's hit hard. He completely misses, like he whiffs. And it was like he threw, like, three left-hand punches while Poirier fell. And it was like he didn't even connect or anything. They just broke it up like Conor knocked him out. And it was like, wait, what? Like, that was a knockout? So here goes the rematch, fool. Like I always do Friday after next one, or next Friday when Sticky ran up on Craig and said, this is the rematch, fool. So this was it. And they get through the first round, go into the second round. By this time, Poirier is kicking the crap out of Conor's front or lead leg, and Conor could barely stand. But Conor's doing what he can to fight. And he threw a barrage of punches. And when those barrage of punches started to connect, it looked just like when Floyd started tattooing Conor before that ref came over there and started waving Conor off. Now, so I'm a diehard Floyd fan. I'm not going to lie. But at this point in time, I was like, wait, the referee was Bird. I'm like, let that go. Like, let him drop Conor. So that's what Conor said to him. He was like, you should have let me go out on my stick. Like, basically saying that he wanted to get knocked out or, you know, basically flag himself out. This time he couldn't be saved. And Poirier got to that chin about four or five times before he dropped. He completely dropped Conor. Conor got dropped, and then he stood over him, and it looked like Herb Dean tried to save him. When he tried to go finish him, He threw like one punch, and I know he didn't fully connect. When he went to go throw the second one, it was like Herb Dean jumped right in the middle of that before Conor took the bruising blow in front of America and looking at him defeated. Now, this is the bone that I have to pick because I give credit to any striking or fighting style defensive type of sport there is. You lose, right? And you start calling people out? Like, wait, I don't get this. This was a guy before this fight went down. He was calling out Manny Pacquiao, looking for Pacquiao. I was like, Pacquiao ain't entertaining you. You got Jake Paul calling for you. Won't even entertain Jake Paul. You look like you need to entertain Jake Paul so you can make some money there. And then you start calling out Khabib. Like, wait, hold on. Khabib beat both of y'all. like both of y'all lost to Khabib. And Khabib choked him out. And it's like, what are you going to do with Khabib if Khabib come back and he got more energy than this dude? And this dude laid you out with six losses. Like, stop. And it's like people still entertain Conor. And it's like, oh, he's still the Irish badass. And I give him credit for him to be able to stir up, you know, social media and the people that follow him. Great. And, like, his entertainment value is awesome. But, dog, you need a humble button. You just lost and got knocked out. Like, I can see if he choked you out. I could see if, like he accumulated points and beat you. He dropped you, and he has a worse record than you. He has six losses. Like, I'm not buying that. Listen, just for you to stir up people so everybody could be like, Khabib, come out of retirement and fight Conor. Then what? You lose to Khabib, and then you're going to give up another excuse and talk all rowdy? Listen, I know people that know you, dog. That's not you, Johnny. That's not you. from what I hear, from the people that know Conor, if you know Conor, they say he's not the type to talk junk. Conor's a real good guy. Like he's one of the guys that they say you would love to be around. But they said as soon as he sees a light, like if it's a bright light and he turns to it, he has to turn on that persona. Don't act like this because now it's like people like me are going to badmouth a good guy like you, and I don't want to be that guy because I'm not that guy. Like I joke with Barry and Sirius, but it's like you make it easy for me not to like you. Especially with you getting dropped and you out here calling out somebody that's bigger than the dude that knocked you out. Even at the end of the fight, and I give Conor credit because he tried to shake his hand, but Dustin put up 2-1 fingers. He was saying 1-1, looking like to me, I think Dustin wants the third one to break the tiebreaker. So that would be interesting to see that go down. So I don't know if you did catch this, Barry, or are entertained by this, but your thoughts on the Poirier-McGregor fight, if you want to add to my rant, because I could not wait to get that off of my chest.
Hey, are you not entertained? It's crazy. I didn't see all the fight. I saw, obviously, the knockout and everything. But, listen, this is what happens when you take a long layoff. Like, if you're, like, a guy that hasn't fought in a year. I mean, you know, not slipping punches. He started to slip a few, but he wasn't really – I mean, one of his big kind of things is you know, you can't really, like, get your feet on him. Like, if you do, he counters it really well, and it could put you down to the ground. Like, he wasn't even ready for that. It looked like he was back to square one. Like, you know, like, honestly, like, he looked like he looked like Danielson and Karate Kid 3. Like, Mr. Miyagi had to teach him everything all over again. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just looked like a guy that hadn't fought in a year and had a 12-month layoff. And this is a guy that he fought that had, you know, has momentum. You know, it came off a really good fight, and it showed. He looked really sharp. He looked like confident, and it didn't look like he had a chance. Like, to be honest with you, after that kind of first round, once it got into the second round, it was, you know, Poirier just kind of really put him down. So it may be a shock to many because, you know, McGregor's got the name. But, I mean, when you don't really fight as often as he has in a couple years, and then you're, you know, I'm hearing rumors that he's looking to get Pacquiao in the ring. And it's like, what are you trying to do, man? Are you trying to build the brand, or are you trying to really get back in the ring and do some of this MMA? You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It just didn't look like – McGregor didn't look sharp. I think he wants another fight. I think if he kind of comes back and gets really back down to basics, I think it'll be a better fight. But this looked like a fighter that just hadn't fought in a while.
With what you just said right now, out here trying to fill that bank account when it's all said and done. That's exactly what he's doing. He's getting these fights to get, you know, big hype up. He can sell the hell out of a crowd. He can go to Miami. He can go to California. He could go to Texas. He could come to New York City. He could come to Boston. He could be all out in these regions and get everybody that has some Irish descent or somebody that could be related to an Irish person and get at least 100, 200 people to just be rowdy and get him to feel like he's on cloud nine and sell the heck out the fight. He can lose and still get a contract. Still get a check, and it's like, wait, if you're barely winning these fights or losing these fights, it's like we watch the same thing happen to Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner's on losing fights at an alarming clip. It's like, who wants to watch Adrian Broner now? I don't want to watch Adrian Broner. And the crazy part about it is, like, I feel bad because I believe in second chances and success stories. He's trying to make a comeback, or at least he's working out, you know, in his boxing workout trying to make a comeback. It's like, who wants to mess with you? Like I don't know. Like that's a reach for me. So it's like, okay, if we're looking at Adrian in that form, and it's boxing, and boxing, they make more money than these MMA fighters, even though, like, guys like Conor may make a good penny at the end of the day within the octagon, but he's one of, like, five that may make good money. You know what I'm saying? Why don't we hold Conor to the same standard? Or not just me, but why don't the powers that be hold Conor to the same standard if he's not the guy that's going to be out there giving you a good fight? Maybe if he fights Diaz again and gets the third fight popping off, then maybe that might be something. Or if he fights Jake Paul, because Jake Paul is now the talk of, you know, fighting, even though he's a boxer. I don't know if he'll end up getting Conor to box with him, because I know Conor will probably be like, no, come into my arena so I can kick your tail. And I know Jake is like, well, I just knocked Nate out, so, like, if you want these hands, then we could do this. So it's like, it's interesting to see how that may work out, but I think it'll sell, you know, if Jake Paul and Conor went at it. And I would hate for it to be a boxing match and Jake Paul beat Conor. If Jake Paul beats Conor, Conor could wrap it up. Like, he could wrap it all up. It'd be over for him. So I'm questioning. I definitely don't think Manny Pacquiao would entertain it unless it was big numbers like the Floyd Pacquiao or the Floyd Conor fight. You know, if the numbers aren't big like that, Manny shouldn't even address it because he has a belt. You know what I'm saying? And in this picture, of Manny lost to Conor, and Conor has a doggone welterweight belt. Like, it's like, who are you going to fight? You going to fight Errol Spence or Sean Porter or Terrence Crawford? Like, who? You pick the litter. Like, so it'd be interesting to see how this goes down. But your thoughts before we get away from the Conor talk. I had to get this rant out, and I'm tired of him getting away with running around saying whatever he likes. So,
who, Conor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of echo the same sentiment. You know, I mean, in my view, I just, you know, focus on your craft, whatever your craft is. If your craft is building your brand, doing, like, Scotch commercials and stuff, then do that. But if your brand is really MMA fighting, and focus on that. There's not a lot of guys that are like LeBron that can kind of juggle being a basketball player, being an executive producer, and then, you know, being a spokesperson. Like, not a lot of people can do that. So, in a sport that you don't play, that you fight, you know what I mean? Like, you need to be focused. You know, you got knocked out. And the picture that I see online is you curled up in the corner. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you got hurt. You know what I'm saying? You got hurt bad. So, focus on your craft, man. Focus on that. You know what I mean?
Like I said, it may be potentially over. I want to see what fight. He has to go through rematches. I think it's probably the Poirier fight if they do part three, because they had the 1-1 history, and Poirier throws the fingers up basically saying he has one, I got one, or the Diaz fight because he, you know, he lost to Diaz as well, so it would be 1-1. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only way I could see him having these type of fights. If he fights Khabib, he's going to have to go all out. Like, he's going to have to listen to Eminem and come out there and lose himself. Like go out there and just start going crazy. Because if you don't, and you let Khabib get his momentum, Khabib has never lost a round, let alone he's never lost a fight. So it's like you got to impress the judges, impress the crowd. You got to get everybody to start screaming them ole, ole, ole's, Irish stuff. Like you need everything, like, to try and fight Khabib, let alone he's retired and you calling him out of retirement after his father's death and talking junk about his father's passing. Like, Enough. And then you're doing it for show. It ain't like you doing it like,
exactly. Exactly.
Like you disrespecting them. You're not disrespecting them. You're doing it because you want to sell that so people could buy into that. And whoever sees Khabib in the street, like, why are you scared to fight Conor? Like, boy, please. He's like, I beat the crap out of Conor. Like, stop. Okay, so you get me riled up. My 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 blood pressure building. Like, let me stop.
Temperature's rising, son.
Well, I ain't playing. I'm not playing today. But shout out to Dustin Poirier. He's kind of getting more of the doggone talk that you should, and you knocked him out, Dustin. So shout out to you. But I'm still mad at the way that first fight went down when he knocked you out. Well, quote unquote knocked you out. But you finally took care of business and dropped him, and I love it. Okay, so
yeah, I mean, real quick, I mean, let's give Poirier his props. I mean, he came out, had a game plan, and he executed. He went in for the kill. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's different for me. I'm used to watching boxing. I'm a boxing guy, and I watch a little bit of MMA. So when somebody goes down, it's kind of weird for me to see them jumping on top of him and like try to really finish him, like, you know, like some Mortal Kombat type stuff, you know what I'm saying? But, right. You know, he went in for the kill. He smelled blood, and you got to give Poirier his props, man. He was a big underdog. I know a lot of people lost money on that or made some money on that. You know, Poirier put himself right in the position where he wants to be to get a title shot. I don't know if the current champ, I can't even say his name, but he said he wants to retire. But, I mean, if he was smart, go get that check and get Poirier. But either way, Poirier's got he's got the ranking now. He's got a big win under his belt, either on paper or on the stat sheet that, you know, says, hey, I'm ready for the title shot. And, you know, give him props. I think he's ranked third or fourth, I think it was, I had read. So he's definitely stamping his way to a title shot, and, you know, give him his props.
Oh, I'm giving him his props. I'm not talking no junk. I'm just basically saying
I'm saying we have to give him props. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to, you know, it's about Conor, but, hey, Poirier did his thing. You know, it wasn't a fluke. That guy can fight.
Right. No. That's what I said. I said it before you said I'm going to give him his credit because it's like I'm giving Conor more credence because he lost and he's out here talking junk. I'm more or less talking junk back to his junk talking than me not giving Dustin his credit because it's like I feel like the crowd, like, you know, when the crowd see they fight or winning and they see that one blow go through and it's like, yeah, like we're on his feet and he all over the place. And then you see that because they both left-handed, so that's why I was working for Poirier because he was striking first. And it was like that barrage when he ended up getting ready to knock him out. He hit him with like three of them on the chin, but the first one of those three, you see Conor go limp, but it's like Conor know he in trouble for trying to keep his hands up, and Dustin finally caught wind of it after, and it was like timing, like, because I guess these guys are close to the rim. So you hear DC or Daniel Cormier saying, finish, like, go after him. And then by the time he heard him, that's when he threw them barrage, and he started tearing Conor up. But it's like, whoa, like, what's going on? Like, are you really one of the top names, or are you the one, you're the top marketable? Like that's the way that I'm looking at Conor McGregor. Are you the one that they can market around, or are you really that dude? Like I'm not buying those stepping stone fights to get you charged up to fight a big fight, and then you lose, and everybody spends $60-something to watch a doggone fight. Yeah, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Okay, so let me get away from that because he's getting me type heated. Okay, so your boy actually fought back last night. Your boy Kyrie Irving helped Brooklyn out to win the game up against the Heat. And the Heat actually – and this is crazy because it's like everybody talking junk about Kyrie. This, that, and the third. He put up a 28-point, 7-assist, 6-rebound effort and a win where Kyrie closed the door. And this is the question, though. They're still giving up 120 points. The Heat ended up scoring 124 in this matchup. Your thoughts as they get back to Brooklyn and get back to their winning ways, their first win with the big three?
It took a lot to get that win, though, dog. I mean, there was some kind of the defense in the last minute was really suspect. I mean, I watched the fourth quarter, and I watched them kind of, you know, really struggle to kind of keep – like, Harden didn't score until the fourth quarter, I think, right? It was crazy to me. And then, you know, Kyrie, they're fouling – It was Jeff Green, and then it was Kyrie fouling the three-point shooter when they're up by 5-6 points, giving them free throws, 3 points to get back in the game. Like, they could have lost this game just because of those two boneheaded plays. Kyrie Irving was a little suspect. I kind of would have let that one go, but I think they tried to say he didn't give them a chance to land. So he was like – you know, he was a little too close when Robinson came down. Jeff Greaves is clearly that was clearly a foul. But it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? So it's like, it's what, you know, we kind of said, like Eric alluded to on the other show, the Crossover Cafe, there's just no defense being played, and the defense that's being played is really crappy. So they got work to do. In my opinion, it's like they have to understand who's the point guard, who's the scorer, and why isn't KD the number one, two, and three option? To me, KD's the best player on the team. So they got to figure it out. They got a lot to work on.
Okay, so I'm back here, Kitchen, again, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. Brooklyn, go get a big. I don't care what's going on. Go get a big. Not now, but in the words of my family down south, right now. Like right now. This is bad. Bam Adebayo gets his career high. His
41.
Career high?
41.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. You mean to tell me that you're going back to that locker room and nobody saying nothing to DeAndre? Like, DeAndre get to go out there and keep smoking weed? He in the middle of New York City, so you know he getting that good stuff. Like, you know he getting it. Like, what else can you say to me? There's nothing else you can say to me. DeAndre is not playing no defense. Y'all trying to work in a smaller big to deal with these bigs. And Bam went over 41. Now, mind you, don't get me wrong. Bam is an awesome player. Awesome player.
Oh, yes.
But this is going to mm-hmm. This is going to continually happen. 41, 9, and 5, he was doing what he wanted to. He got up 9 assists. So, okay, so if he passing, what, is he passing to the wings? And then watching a lot of the plays of when Brooklyn, this is bad. Like, it's almost like when they're in half-court settings, like Brooklyn on the defensive side, it looks like a fast break. These teams are running at the rim and nobody in the lane. Like, wait, what? Like, this ain't basketball. This ain't basketball. Mm-hmm. Y'all hoping that they miss layups. Like, forget if they miss a jump shot or a three that y'all letting them take. Y'all let them get clean layups and nobody protecting the rim. Like, I'm not good with this era. This era of basketball, I'm not good with. For these guys to think that they – and they probably can. Don't get me wrong. I feel like that they want to get to the middle portion of it, February, maybe the end of February, and turn that switch on and then start going off on dudes and fine. Then do what you're going to do. But this is looking like the identity of the Nets with you guys giving up 120 a night. A night. The Cleveland Cavaliers mm-hmm. gave y'all run two times in a row and beat y'all by double digits and put up over 120 each night. Like everybody that's playing y'all looking like they're going to have a field day. Let alone Bam score. I don't care what nobody say. Bam went off of 41 in y'all gym. In y'all, man, come on, man. Enough is enough. Y'all need to go out and get a big. There's pieces on that bench that y'all could probably trade off to get a big that's sitting on a bench somewhere rotten. If anything, go to Philly. Philly got a ton of bigs down there, or go to, like I said, turn back around to Cleveland. Like, hey, we might need Jared back or get Drummond back. I don't know what they need to do, but they need somebody outside of DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan, I'm going to say this in the words of G Money in the movie New Jack City, your services are no longer needed. And then that's when he said, what's your bummer slide? And Akeisha came out of nowhere and blew his brains out. In broad daylight,
exactly.
Right now. Like, DeAndre, it's all he can do is he's a 6'11 leaper. Like, he gets off the floor and gets dunked. If the ball is in his arena, like if he could jump and grab a rebound, then yes, okay, I consider him a rebounder. But no, I'm not sold by his game by any means. Like, he's done. He's done. Like literally, with his height, is his talent. I'd give him 2 to 3 years top left in the league. Left.
Right.
If we watch him play, like, Nene hang him up and Nene had more in the bag, like this. No, he's done. Joakim Noah playing defense, but he's not in the league, even though he looked crazy. But, come on, 2 to 3 years. I feel like I'm giving him a year. Man, please. It should be a wrap for him pretty soon.
They need to find somebody that can anchor the back end of the defense, that can rebound, and like you said, that can just basically be that pin, because Kyrie is a great player, but it's easy to get by him. He doesn't keep people in front of him, so you need somebody behind him that can clean that up. Harden is a better defender now than he was a couple years ago, but he's not a great defender. There's nobody there that's a good defensive anchor. So it's like you got Jeff Green and DeAndre back there. That's it. DeAndre Jordan is, you know, past his prime. He can, like you said, he can rebound, he can leap, but he's not a defensive anchor. He can't rotate quick enough. He can't cover up your mistakes. So I don't know where they're going to get it from. We've been saying, you know, harping at Cleveland, they've got extra bigs, go get them. I mean, honestly, if Harden wasn't such a jerk, I'd be calling Houston and asking for Boogie Cousins, because Boogie just had a pretty nice game, 28 and 17. So, I mean, but you know that the disrespect is real, so I don't know if he would want to play there. I mean, you would have to talk to him, but, I mean, he's on a cheap contract. You could probably fit him in. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I don't know who else you can go out there and get. Like, you know, bins are so hard to find. When you have one, you don't really let them go. So, and I don't know how much currency Brooklyn has from a trade perspective to get a big, but they need somebody that can cover up the mess and anchor the defense. That is a huge need. You look at, like, Milwaukee, the Lakers, the Sixers. I mean, those are teams with a big that if, you know, when they play Brooklyn, those bigs are going to hurt. They're going to put a hurting on them. Embiid is going to put a hurting on DeAndre Jordan. And he's going to clean up a lot of misses and get easy putbacks, easy buckets like Bam did. And it's not going to be even close. So they have to fix that. They have to cover it up. And, I don't know what they're going to do, but that's what they get paid to do. That's what the GM gets paid to do. You better go figure it out.
I don't think they could get – well, they probably can if they made it work. But DeMarcus Cousins, he probably wouldn't want to go because of the beef that Harden just left. He just left Houston mm-hmm. like that, and he was like, well, I came here for mm-hmm. John Wall. I ain't coming for him. You know what I'm saying? So you mm-hmm. don't want to have that stir going on out here in Brooklyn and then kind of upsetting what you already got together with the big three but in bringing him in. But like I said, there are teams that have bigs that that can make a difference here, but Brooklyn has to be willing to do it. And I feel like the way that Nash and company or the GM are looking at it, like they're just fine and they'll get through these bumps and figure this out on the fly. And I don't think this is just an easy fix. I feel like Brooklyn has their issues in front of them, especially how this went down. For them, Bam could have went for 50, y'all. He was lying for 50. Like
right.
I don't want to get caught up on that. So,
right.
Okay, a couple of quick references before I get away from this. The Pelicans, they lose that matchup against the Timberwolves, in which this is the team that I was calling about with Ryan Saunders and the way that he's been losing games. He finally gets out of that losing way and gets a win up on the board. But I don't even know which coach to question more here. If I'm going to question Ryan Saunders more or Stan Van Gundy. Stan Van Gundy just got the job and does not look like the coach for the Pelicans right now. I don't know how he turns this around. Let alone he has all of the talent that he has in front of him. He has guards, he has forwards, he has a big. You have everything there. What do you need to change? Brandon Ingram is good. You got Zion, who's a monster. You got Steven Adams in the paint. What else do you need? I don't know what you need. Losing this game right here, this is a Timberwolves team that's struggling and got beat up real bad by Atlanta at home. And it's looking like the Timberwolves are playing majority of their games in Minnesota and losing. They win their first game up against the Pelicans, and the Pelicans put up 110 points. And a lot of these teams, just like we were talking about, nobody's playing defense. Everybody's giving up over 105 points. The Pelicans gave up – they scored 110 points and lost. So I don't know what Van Gundy's going to do. Another matchup that went down was the Warriors losing their game up against the Utah Jazz. Like I said, the Utah Jazz on a crossover cafe should be a top four team in the West. They blew out the Warriors 127-108, in which this score was way more damaging than it was shown here when they're winning by 19. Just think, the Warriors scored 36 points in the fourth quarter, won that quarter by 17 points. You get what I'm saying? So they lost by 19. They were down 36 entering the fourth quarter. So this score is telling a different story being told by what happened. But with that being said, shout out to Wardell Stephen Curry Jr., whoever that reporter was, you were listening to Sports City. You were listening to Sports City. Out of nowhere, at random, you just said Wardell in the middle of the press conference. Stop. And I said this. I said, this is terrible. I love it. But Wardell Stephen Curry Jr. breaks Reggie Miller's record at 3-point shots made, and he's now second on the list behind Ray Allen. So I do got to give Steph his credit. So, like, everybody that has a 3-point record is in jeopardy with this dude right here, because this is all he does is shoot the 3-ball. Well, he's got more to his game, but, you know, the icing on the cake, you know what Steph is going to do. So your thoughts on Steph eclipsing Reggie Miller's record?
I think we said it on another show, but I'll reiterate it. I mean, I wasn't ready to give him that title a couple years ago. I think I needed to see more and see stuff like this, him passing people on the list. He's the greatest three-point shooter that ever lived. The guy can do it in a lot of different ways. He can do it spot up, off the dribble, off a pick. The guy just is amazing from three-point line. He's not only probably the greatest three-point shooter, but I think probably the greatest pure shooter that we've ever seen. I always said it was a tie between Reggie Miller and Larry Bird. People don't understand how good a shooter Larry Bird was. You know, and he could do it anyway. He could shoot it in your face. He'll tell you where he's going to shoot it, and he would shoot it. He'd be like, I'm going to go right in that corner right there. I'm going to bury a three-pointer and win the game, and did it. And, you know, that he was that dude. Steph Curry is a pure shooter, and I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be the best pure shooter that this game has ever seen. You know, it's an art form. He's perfected it. He's made it look really easy. I mean, a lot of people want to do it now because of him. You know, the game's kind of evolved into a shooter's kind of game that, you know, spacing the court, having shooters around the three-point line, and like a 3-and-D kind of player, instead of like a more or less a slasher kind of thing. Like, if you have a 3-and-D player, a person that can shoot a three and play defense, he's kind of made that kind of transition because you need to defend him and also keep up with points to keep shooting threes to keep up with his threes and Clay's threes. So, he's clearly going to be, you know, he's going to go down as the greatest three-point shooter that ever lived. And props to Reggie Miller and Ray Allen. Those guys were tremendous watching them grow up. I hated watching Reggie Miller kill my Knicks, but you couldn't deny the fact that he was a great shooter. So to pass him on the list is a heck of an accomplishment. And his career is not even close to done yet. That's what's scary about it. So, props to Steph Curry.
Oh, you brought the Knicks up. Don't do the Knicks like that. I don't want to do that.
You
gotta
slide it in.
Like, look, and this is the bad part because honestly, like, I know the history of Reggie Miller, and the history of Reggie Miller was like, I hate to do this to him, but ever since we were kids, like elementary school, it's like, oh, well, we got an NBA player that used to get beat by his sister. And it's like, what? And it's like, then you see Cheryl Miller going off. It's like, oh, I see why she used to beat Reggie. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, then seeing Reggie get busy in the league. And then my vividest memory was either that story of him and Cheryl, or when he got into the Garden and the Knicks was up and then Reggie started going off and had 8 points in like 6 seconds. And I still look at Greg Anthony still till this day. Like, I still, every time I see Greg Anthony, like, he could be on TV, I just shake my head. Like, who were you passing the ball to? Like, did you have a navy seal, a navy colored jersey on, and just said, "Here, Reggie, hit that," and gave Reggie the ball, and then they called timeout, and I still remember how Reggie looked at Spike, and Spike yelling at him like, "Get out of here!" And he just put the hands on his neck like, "Y'all choking, I'm choking y'all right now." Like, y'all, like the vividest memory of Reggie, and it's like, that's the NBA that I grew up on, and the Knicks was playing hardcore defense. That was one thing I didn't like about the Knicks, but me growing up now, I appreciate the Knicks because it's like you had to score around that defense. You had to score around Oak. You had to score around Mate. Pat was trying to do something, but Pat got dunked on at the end of the day. Like, it was Pat would always be in trouble because somebody coming down there to come give him something. But it's like, at least you had to get around the Knicks to try and beat them. You know what I'm saying? Now, like, when we talk about the Nets and how they're not playing defense, it bothers me to see nobody play defense like that. But Steph Curry, and you're saying he's going to be? Like, I think all he needs to do is just get to the number. Like, he is the best three-point shooter I've seen. The only one that I could feel like that could put the competition to him is his teammate, Clay. And we don't know what Clay's going to look like when he returns. He's coming off of 2 season-ending injuries, and it's like if he has the same bounce, if he could still get that same jump shot up, like, that's the only guy I feel like that could compete with him, and he's missed 2 seasons. So it's like, okay, like, Steph is that guy. Like, he just has to catch the numbers of Ray Allen or – whatever other record is out there on the board, Steph is about to clear the board. Steph is about to clear the board. Like, to me, he is the best shooter I've seen. Like, competitive nature, because I'm a Western Conference guy, it's like, no, I don't want to see Steph go crazy. I don't want to see the Warriors do this, but it's like, it's going to happen. He knows how to swim around screens. He knows how to get open. He can create a space. He can dribble off the bounce and hit that jump shot. It's tough to DM. If anything, like my father would say, was crowd him. Like crowd him as best as you can so he don't get that comfort of getting that shot off. Like, but a lot of people just step back and watch Steph step back, and it's like, yo, dude, he can hit shots from three-quarter court. Like, stay in his hip. Like, there's no way he's getting daylight at all. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. You better run next to him. Okay.
Right.
Here's a couple of quick games I want to get into because we got 35 minutes. So, like I said, the Warriors lost in a blowout form. Did it go into Chicago, take care of business up against the Bulls, in which Anthony Davis put up 37 in his hometown, comeback, if you will. The Nuggets win their matchup up against the Suns, in which the Joker went off. He went off for 29 and 22 and 6 assists. Like, okay, just to put icing on the cake, I'm going to dish this ball out 6 times up against the Suns in Phoenix, in which that's DeAndre Ayton and company. And I wonder if DeAndre was in front of a lot of that. But, Jokic, I tried to have that discussion in a different group. Who was the best big? It's between him and Embiid. Like, I like Embiid because Embiid could shoot, but Jokic could shoot. But Jokic distributes more, and that's why I'm kind of.
I mean, we need
Jokic
to talk about that, TP. We need to talk about that.
Look at me putting recipes together. Look. I wouldn't even try. Let's eat. So, what best big? Do you want to include power forwards, or is it just them two at the center position? Because then, if we glue power forwards, then it'd be Anthony Davis. This was the discussion that I was having. They tried to throw LeBron, and I'm like, LeBron's a three. But they're like, but he go down to the 4 and 5. I'm like, yeah, I get it, because he's built like that. But it's like, he's a three. But if you want to include LeBron as a big, then you can, because he is a big. Like,
we're talking a five. We're talking fives, right?
Okay, so let's go.
Yeah, we're talking pure fives. And I think Davis is not a five to me. I think in today's game he is, because he's tall. But to me, he's a four. I'm looking at pure five, like, you know, more or less, you know, in the block, back to the basket kind of big. You know, you're talking Joker, and you're talking Embiid. Maybe you would, just to kind of round it out, you would throw like a Cousins or Andre Drummond in there. I mean, I'm not saying they're the best, but those are the kind of guys, like Bam, those kind of guys. But to me, the two best clearly are Embiid and Joker. Embiid is really good. I think when he figures out that he's better on the block than on the wing and trying to shoot threes and stuff all the time, he's either a 20 and 15 guy every night when he wants to be who he's supposed to be, dominant inside, right? Joker is stupid talented. I mean, he is a big man, but he's a point guard trapped in a big man's body. This guy, when I watched him in the playoffs last year, it's the first real time I got to really sit and watch him play. I'm like, why is this guy bringing the ball up? And why is this guy running the offense? And then you watch him do it, I'm like, oh, that's why. Because he's stupid talented and he can do it. Like, he is the most – he's stuck in a market that people don't really watch and don't get to see as much unless it's a Thursday night game or a Saturday game or something like that, or ESPN game late on this market that we don't really get to see. This guy, Joker, is the best big, the best pure five big in the game. He can handle, he can shoot, he, like his shot's never going to go in, and it's pure net. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when he shoots it up, it goes high up, and it looks like it's going to be a break, and it's pure net. Like, the guy is talented. He is the best big in the game to me. And that's no disrespect to Embiid. I think Embiid's really talented. I think he's the second best. But Joker has better handles than Embiid, in my opinion. Like, it looks like Embiid can kind of fumble it a little bit. Joker, he's the best to me. He really is.
Okay, don't forget DeMarcus Cousins, because you just talked about him. And DeMarcus Cousins just had a 28-17 night. And it's like, when DeMarcus is focused, he can get into this conversation, and if you get back to DeMarcus in Sacramento, he put up 55, and like he got a bag too. And it's just like you said, 28-17. He had 5 assists on the night last, and then the same night. So this happened, and this was one of the games that I wanted to spill into. This is what I do want to say about both of them. Just like you said about Embiid, if Embiid wanted to go in the post more and dominate and get that big man in foul trouble, no question I'm going Embiid. That's why I went with Embiid in the discussion that I was having. Jokic, the reason, and I don't even know if it's a fair value of me going against Jokic, but I'm going to give him credit, like, here in what I'm about to say, though. Like, Jokic has a hell of a bag. Like, and Jokic does it all. He can bring the ball up. The coach trusts him. Jamal Murray looks at him like, yo, listen, I'm running off of you. Do what you got to do. And that's how I kind of play. Like, I can bring the ball up, and it's like, yo, what is he doing? And then as you know, something crazy happens. It's like, yo, okay. So it's like, and just like you said, that shot he'll throw up, like, if you on him and he just throw that sky arcing three, he's like, yo, what type of shot is that? And it's buttered, like, straight cast on that. And it's like, yo, wait, he does that? Yeah, he feels like that. He feels like that. People are lucky. This is why I'm saying this about Jokic. Like, and I don't even feel like I'm being fair in calling him out like this, and I don't think so. People are lucky. Jokic is not athletic. Like, if he was in shape and shape and, like, could run and could jump, like, at least 6 inches off the ground, like, if he could jump, dude, what would people do? Like, yo, people would want to watch the Nuggets every night. Like, everybody be like, yo, we watching the Nuggets. And it's still like that right now, the way that he's playing ball now. Like, the way that he play ball now, it's like you still want to watch the Nuggets. But it's like if he got any good trainer to, like, get him off the ground or make him quicker or have him with an unstoppable post move. Like he has post moves and he'll get the shot off like that. That he'll do, like, a 3-spin off the pivot and get that shot up, like, and that'll happen. But it's like if he were any type of athletic prone to do something, like, the only hope you would have is, like, Embiid to try and combat him to get him in foul trouble or DeMarcus Cousins. Now, if DeMarcus is playing like he is, like he was in Sacramento, I want to see the matchup between the Nuggets and the Rockets and see how that goes down. But I don't know. Like, this is a fair fight between Jokic and Embiid being the best big, or if DeMarcus continues this. Because this is just one game out the bag, 28-17, since Sacramento, to be honest, because he wasn't doing it like that in New Orleans. And he sat out a whole year with the Lakers to get a championship ring, so he got lucky to get that. So I'm going to give DeMarcus that type of credit. But right now, I believe between Embiid and Jokic at the 5, at least. But if it were to include the 4, then I would put Anthony Davis in the discussion at the 4. That would be the only
guy. Yeah, it would be a hard – yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it would be a hard – I can't put Giannis in there. He's more on the wing for me, but, like, if you look at, like, it's a hard argument. I don't even want to start that dish, like, AD versus Jokic. I mean, because I would probably take AD. I think AD is super talented. You know, if you kind of split them back, like, 4 or 5, like, I would, you know, say Joker's the better 4 or 5 than AD. And AD is, like, one of the best 4s in the game. Like, if not the best. You know what I mean? So –
right.
You know, I look at,
that's
like, I look at Giannis and LeBron as 3s, you know, that just are bigger. That's it.
But I think Giannis is a 4. So, like, and I don't see Giannis on the wing like that because Giannis got to get to the paint. Like, I would live with Giannis trying to pull up. Go ahead and pull up. Go shoot. Shoot the ball. Right. I want for you to shoot. Go ahead. Go, please. I live with you hitting 3 of them. I want you to think you hot. So once you start missing, the team be like, yo, give him the ball. Yeah, okay, we right. That's a 6-0 run. Go ahead.
Yeah.
We need that. The last
he
game
needs to
I'm
keep working on that J. He needs to keep working on that J, brother.
But it's hard because it's like he's – I don't want to call him an old dog because he's still fairly young, but it's like that's his new trick that he's going to have to learn. He's like, and he's worked with Kyle Korver. Like, shoot, one of the best shooters I've seen. Like, what else you need?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And this is what bothers me about, because I learned about a lot of the NBA players, I want to say about 3 or 4 years ago. The ones that feel like they can get it on their own, that they're going to try and do it, like, stop. You guys are getting paid millions of dollars, so you have extra money to get it done. Do you know how much a shooting coach costs?
No.
The best ones go for $50,000. The best ones.
Okay.
the average ones that these NBA players get is $20,000. You mean that y'all guys couldn't pay 20 G's and y'all got millions to get this shot right? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what's going to make y'all bread. Like, you pay that 20, get right. That's the same thing I'm looking at, like, Andre Roberson on the Thunder when he was with the Thunder. It's like, dog,
yeah.
you shoot your – He was shooting his three ball at a better clip than he was shooting free throws at. He was hitting his three ball at like 24%. So it was like he was shooting 19% from the free throw line, and you're making millions of dollars, and you won't get a shooting training coach like that at all? Like nothing?
Right.
Like, so this thing that I look at with Giannis, it's like, okay, Korver said he's trying to work on your jump shot, and he's trying to be more efficient because he's older and longer in the tooth in the NBA and trying to help you, and it's not getting better, so I don't get it. That's a whole other can of worms to spill into. But the next thing I wanted to get into to get away from it, because I've really eaten into the NFL that I wanted to get into, was the Rockets
Mavericks. Big day today. Big day.
Right. The Rockets Mavericks situation, in which the Rockets won their game by 25 in Dallas. And this was a game where Luka had 26 points, 8 assists, and 5 rebounds. People, I don't like when they do that preseason stuff, who's going to be the favorite for the MVP, so on and so forth. And I get it. People make that bet in Vegas, so on and so forth. But Luka was the favorite? Better than who?
Yeah.
Better than who? Like it's like, okay, whoever put their money on Luka, I know you mad right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's three-balling, falling like that. And they're losing games to the Rockets that's trying to find their way. That's heavily under 500. But for some odd reason, the Mavericks are 500 at this point in time. And Luka will figure out a game to get going, and then it's another game that it's like these. It's like he'll have a half a good play, then he'll fall asleep. Or he'll fall asleep in the first half and then start going off in the second half. It's like, no, you got to play a consistent 48 minutes out here. Like, you think you're going to sneak these wins in, and I understand. And I can understand Luka's frustration. I'm going to give him a little credit here because Porzingis can't stay on the floor. If Porzingis could stay on the floor for him, then it would help him. But it's like his sidekick ain't helping him. So, but for them, I don't think Porzingis makes up the 25 point blowout here though. Like I feel like Porzingis would give them like 17-21 of this. But his defense is a factor too in the paint too. But still, yeah, like Luka, you guys are at home. Like, I don't get it. And this is something that we talked about too in the kitchen with Tim Hardaway Jr. and him being streaky, you know, and him not being there every
very
game,
streaky.
And in some games he'll end up going off. So,
right, very streaky. You're right. Listen, when Eric Gordon is hitting what 6 and 9 three pointers, you can put it. It's a wrap. You can pretty much put that in the bag. I mean, he is the forgotten piece on that team. Houston, if they can get Wall healthy, I think this is the first game he's played since the big trade with some knee soreness and everything. If they can get him, Boogie, and Eric Gordon on the same page, look out. Like, I'm not saying they're going to be a championship team, but they could be a top out in the playoffs. You know what I mean? That's some talent right there. Listen, I'm going to be nice about – well, I'm not. You know what? Forget it. Listen, Porzingis can't stay healthy. I'm glad he's not in New York anymore. Listen, I understand this is like the fifth game in 7 days. Him, so you want to take the precaution and not play him, but you can't rely on this guy. He's too fragile. I mean, the knee soreness, eventually it's gonna give out again. You can play cautious and you can play all those games you want with sitting him and you know, load management and everything. It's still not going to work. Eventually, it's going to be damaged by it. Luka's a really good player. I think people were gassed over his run last year in the playoffs. But, I mean, in the numbers he was putting up in his second year. And favorite for MVP? I mean, you know, that team after Luka and KP is kind of, you know, up and down. You have guys that have good games usually at home, and then you have guys that have meh games on the road. Like Hardaway, the last game before this game was like 12 or 15 or something like that, and then he missed every shot in the first half. He hadn't hit a shot in like over a game and a half before the second half of the Rockets game. So Tim Hardaway, he's a very good third player. He's just too streaky for me. Always was a little too streaky in New York. I do like him, but I mean, you couldn't rely on him to be that lead dog, that primary or secondary scorer. So that was the big problem. But, I mean, Dallas, you know, listen, hopefully they can get, you know, KP healthy for the whole season and throughout the season, throughout the playoffs. With those two on the court, they're dangerous. But you know, you just can't, you can't rely on KP to stay healthy all the time. That's just what I've seen in my, you know, from his Knick tenure. Hopefully it's him getting older and getting out of it. I've seen players their first few years get hurt a lot and then grow out of it, but I don't know. We'll see. It's 7-3 and that skinny, you know, it's a recipe for disaster.
This is the one thing I'm going to be fair. I'm going to secretly say this on air, Sports City. I am a Porzingis fan. I'm not going to lie. I want to say, was it the second year? Because the first year he got hurt, right? I think it was his second year in New York.
No, every year he got hurt, pretty much, you know, at some point.
Right when he tore his knee, and I was on that playoff run with him, like everything was going good, and he tore his knee. When Porzingis was playing like that, I turned into a Porzingis fan. I was like, yo, this dude is incredible. And then he got hurt, and then it's like, okay, now he got to get back. And then I'm passionate. Like, I don't want to see people hurt. Like I, competitive nature, I want to see you lose. If you're not rolling with the Thunder, we got to roll on you, like, period. Like, that's the only way it's going to go down. But when he got hurt, it was like, yo, man, I don't want to see the Knicks like that. Like of course, because I pick with you, I pick with, you know, people like Lanise and people that's all Knicks fans, especially, you already know how me and Dave go at it. So it's like, man, any shot I can get at the Knicks, I'm going to get it. But it's like, injury-wise, it's like I get soft. It's like, all right, I don't want to see nobody hurt. Like, get back out there on the floor because I know how injuries are. You see me injured. So it's like, I don't want to, man, yeah. I know the fight to get back. Then he got back on the floor. It's like, okay, he's a 7'3 shooter that could get in the lane and play defense. And if he take that step to get to the dot, everybody's in trouble because he's coming down here,
right,
at 7'3". Like, so, but just not to have him on the floor, for him to remain injured and be a constant out of the lineup, it bothers me, man. And I think that's what Luka's waiting for them to build their consistency, and it's not been there. But if he's the most valuable player with some pieces, he has Trey Burke. They got rid of Seth Curry. I mean, they got Tim Hardaway Jr. They got pieces there on Dallas, so it ain't like I'm giving them a whole bunch of credit or leeway. Dwight Powell being a big that can shoot and get in the lane and rebound and dunk, so like it's a good amount of pieces down there in Dallas. Okay, okay.
I think they need another piece to contend. The Lakers, I think they need another piece, a consistent piece that kind of pushes KP into that kind of second, third tier. Like, not he could be the Robin to Doncic's Batman, because clearly Doncic is Batman. But I mean, I'm talking like maybe now you have Batman, Robin, and Batwoman. You're Batgirl, whatever you want to call
right.
it. So like
right.
they need another piece that can consistently be there with Doncic when KP can't go. That's it, to really contend. And I don't know who else is out there. I saw some rumors that who they might be able to trade for. I think those were kind of fluff, but That's what I'm thinking. A two or three that can be consistently out there with them.
Okay, we will see how that moves in the latter part of this season. I do have to try to get the football because, of course, this dude comes in here and starts eating with me, and we're eaters. We foodies, and I'm putting up some marvelous recipes. Okay, so Sports City, I'm up here talking about Barry's Knicks, and it's not fair because I keep talking about Barry's Knicks. I got to talk about my boys real quick. And I'm going to do this quickly. So within this week, we just hired, being the Detroit Lions, they just hired Dan Campbell, former tight end of this Lions team, in which his last season in Detroit, he was on the 0-16 team. And his speech, his entry speech, I'm not thrilled with at all. I'm hoping that he got more in the tank than what he's talking about. I feel like he's definitely motivating. But that speech right there, if that's supposed to motivate the team, then okay, I'll take it, however it works. But to me, I'm not thrilled or motivated by it. And in which, as of yesterday, and I apologize to everybody out there in Michigan that may feel a certain way about me or my stances or whatever, the Lions are choosing to part ways from Matthew Stafford, looking to seek a trade. So if they can't get the trade, then he probably stays. But with this being said, I think that they're trying to move on to green pastures. Now, I'm like, I've been begging for Stafford to go because it's like we've seen all of his tricks. He has losing ways, and watching him, like, the intricate stuff within a game, he hangs on to the ball too long. He'll take a sack when it's, like, third and three, and he could pick up the yards. He'd rather throw the ball deep than try to pick it up. It's like we got to move on. We got to rebuild. So now I'm looking at the situation with a new coach. potentially a new quarterback is like, okay, now I'm with the rebuild and want to see how Detroit moves forward. And it may take years. It may take 2 to 4 years or whatever, but at least it's a start. For them to sit this long with Matthew Stafford and then pass him to somebody that he may end up going somewhere and winning now, and it's like, okay, and especially if they end up playing us, he's going to try and go off up against Detroit. It's like you guys waited too long to pull the trigger on Matthew Stafford. So it's been interesting for me, to say the least, to be a Detroit fan and watching them get a head coach, and then just yesterday saying that they're choosing to part ways from Matthew Stafford. I'm edge of my seat waiting to see what they're trying to do, and they're saying they're actively trying to push to get to the first pick to get Trevor Lawrence. If we could get Trevor Lawrence, that is who I wanted. That is what I've been asking for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And if it can happen, let's go, because then I'm definitely with the rebuild. I'm definitely – he can take off and he can throw the ball. He can make those same passes Stafford can make, but I think he's a little more heady and makes more of those game-time decisions. And, of course, he has to get used to the NFL. But if Detroit can make that happen, I'm at the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think that'll happen. The Jaguars would be a fool to pass on Trevor Lawrence. I think – you get that pick, you get that quarterback at position, there's no way you trade out of it. Maybe they can do a deal to get – I mean, listen, honestly, I said on this show, Matt Jones ain't a bad pickup. The kid from BYU ain't a bad pickup. So we'll see how that goes. I think – I want to hit it all real quick, and then I'll let it go. I mean, I think Dan Campbell, I'm really not feeling the hire. I think there was better candidates out there. Frazier, what's up?
No, I said me either. I was agreeing with you.
No, yeah, I mean, I it's not a terrible one, but it's kind of like a head scratcher for me. I think Frazier, the Bills coordinator, is a hot candidate. I mean, even though he did coach a little bit in Minnesota, Bieniemy is the guy. I mean, everybody should be knocking this door down. I mean, Frazier and Bieniemy are the favorites. They've already started assembling a staff in case they get the Texans job. It looks like those two are the finalists. So, but Detroit, I just don't, you know, I think the press conference kind of went left a little bit. I think it tried to get the juice of what Joe Judge did, and then he just kind of really took it left, and it just kind of didn't work. But, you know, listen, that's one thing. I think we had a discussion about it yesterday. You may not like the Lynn hire as offensive coordinator, but I think as a coordinator, he's pretty damn good. And I think he's had some good offenses in San Diego. I just don't think as a head coach, he's a decision maker enough to really lead that team. But as a coordinator, he's like a North Turner. Not a good head coach, but offensive coordinator, he's a genius-wise. So I think that's a good pickup for you. Page on Matt Stafford, I think eventually needed to happen. I think it's kind of unfortunate that they didn't win with him. I think, you know, I just watched a clip of him, I think his first season when he separated his shoulder and came back out there and won the game. That's the guy that I remember. He's a tough kid, always is out there playing for the Lions and giving it his all. So I hope he lands in a good situation. I think the Colts, the 49ers, and the Washington football team are the three best situations for him to land. And I think, you know, Detroit has a lot of rebuilding to do at first as quarterbacks. So I don't know where they go. I don't know if they sign a veteran or if they go in the draft. But, you know, moving on from Stafford is kind of bittersweet. And I'm not even a Lions fan, but, you know, just because I kind of do appreciate what Stafford brings to the table.
He's a Lions fan, Sports City. Don't let him fool you. We've had the discussion. Don't worry. I'm working on him.
That's so disrespectful. So disrespectful.
Look, just seeing what he put X in. He had X in a Lions jacket. Okay, so we're gonna do that. And just like I said, what Barry just said, actually, with the candidate that I wanted was Saleh, because he's a Detroit guy from Detroit. You let him go. Talking about he didn't interview well, but
yeah.
You got. Dan Campbell there, and Dan Campbell talking about biting kneecaps off in his entry speech. He's biting kneecaps off? Like, this, stop. Stop. Okay. Getting past that, because that's frustrating. The enemy's out there. Sally's out there. You went with Dan Campbell that's not head coach anywhere, except a little bit in Miami when they fired a coach. Like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me get past that. The Stafford situation. The Lions have to be a noose somehow, some way. Like, I wish I could be like some other fan. Like, I don't know, Baltimore don't be in the news like that. Like, what? Like, Woo, like, pick a team, they don't be in the news. It's like Detroit got to be in the news. Like, even right now, in January, like, stop. Okay. So let me get to the Super Bowl, because this, well, not even the Super Bowl, the championship games, because this is championship week here in Sports City, in which I don't think at any cause that Mahomes misses this game, even though I think for safety precautions, that is still a question to throw around. But I think Mahomes has to play. Like, well, I would not forget, I think. I know he should play, but it's a concussion. So, you know, they're watching this stuff closely, especially with the movie and the doctor that was on top of this and knowing about the bargaining agreement and things of that nature. They're trying to play it safe. And Edwards-Helaire is actually set to play, too. So the Chiefs are trying to go full power to go up against the Bills. This is a heck of a game. But we also have the early game, so I'm going to go to the early game first. Barry, your thoughts on this matchup? Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, TB. It's all of this TB stuff up against Aaron Rodgers and you guys' MVP in Lambeau, in which Antonio Brown and Evans are out for this game, right?
If so that's confirmed. Brady wins, that's confirmed.
Huh?
It's that's confirmed. I know Brown is out, and I think Evans is questionable.
Okay, so Evans better be able to give it a go. If they don't have those two,
it's a wrap.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Maybe this is what I want to say. Hold on. Settle down. Before I put this plate in front of you, because I want you to eat. If Brady pulls this off in Lambeau Field up against Rodgers in that offense, I don't want to hear anybody anymore. Anybody. I don't care what you say. You could keep trying to bring up Peyton. You could keep trying to bring up Montana. You could keep trying to bring up Bradshaw. I am on deaf ears if he pulled this off. If he go up there and beat Rodgers, MVP season, all of his weapons, everything going, not too much people missing off of this, I'm sorry. I'm going to, like, yell, argue with people. Like I want to, like, it's not even going to be a civil debate no more. Like, it's like, what else can you debate that he's going, if he pulls this off today, he's going to his 10th Super Bowl. If he pulls this off, he's going to his 10th Super Bowl. I don't want to hear it. He could lose the Super Bowl. He could lose. He could be 6-4. He can lose. He went to 10. Name a player that's been to 7. 7.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's not a quarterback.
Right, exactly. And the more and more that I look at it within this season right here, this one season alone, these 17 weeks and, you know, playoffs, that Patriot team is looking more Brady than it looked Belichick. He went and got an MVP in Cam Newton, even though Cam not himself, but they lost the division. Or they weren't even in the hunt to be a playoff team. Like, that's looking like that was Brady's team more than Belichick. And I don't want to take anything away from Belichick, don't get me wrong. I don't want to take anything away from Belichick. Coach, GOAT, he's a GOAT at the coaching position. But now, yeah. But your thoughts on this one, and if you want to elaborate on anything that I spilled out there, Tampa Bay versus Green Bay. Who do you like and why?
I mean, it looks like Antonio Brown is going to play, and it looks like Mike Evans is going to play. I haven't seen anything. The last I saw, he's closer to 100%, but I mean, I think he's going to go. So I know Antonio Brown is out, and he didn't look good, that injury. So, I was the guy that was saying Joe Montana was the greatest quarterback of all time until Brady won his 6. Then I had to say, you know what? I have to, not only did I always put respect on Brady thing, I have to put respect on the fact that he's a GOAT. Then and you can, listen, I'm the guy that loved Joe Montana as a kid. You know, he was my second favorite NFL player behind Lawrence Taylor. You have to put respect on Tom Brady. Nobody's done what this guy has done at any level in the AFL, old NFL. Nothing. Like, there's nothing that this guy has done that anybody has even been close to duplicating. And then if he gets to his 10th Super Bowl, and even if he loses it, who cares? 10 Super Bowls as a quarterback? Put respect on his name. With that being said, it's an L. It's an L today. This is ironic. This is why I say they wasted Aaron Rodgers' career. And I don't want to take a lot of time on this, but this is his first NFC Championship game in Lambeau Field. His first. That's insane to me. that he hasn't hosted, that his teams haven't been a top seed enough and gotten to the NFL NFC Championship game to host a game at Lambeau. This is his first game hosting the game. With that said, that's a bad man back there. He is out of his mind right now. That running game is looking really good. We were all saying, how come you drafted Jordan Love and didn't get him a receiver? And everybody must have forgot that Devontae Adams is a pretty damn good receiver. Expect him to catch another touchdown, maybe two. I think this is going to be a close game because Tom Brady is that guy. But at the end, I think I like the Packers to 27. I like the Packers and the team to go back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're gonna have to talk off air about the score. This is tough. He went Green Bay. I'm going Green Bay too. I'm right with you. I'm going with Green Bay. I'm gonna try and pull up a score though too. I'm gonna say, yeah, I think this is an old fashioned shootout. We deserve it. 34-31, and Rodgers has the ball last, and Crosby kicks the field goal to send them to the Super Bowl. That's the only way I see it. If they are tied up and Brady gets the ball, you'll turn the TV off. Don't watch the game. Just turn it off because y'all, everybody about to cry, man. It's about to be a bad situation if that goes down. I do not want to see Brady with the ball at the end of the game and they tied up. And it's like, oh, well, it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds left and he got a timeout. Yeah, you know what's about to happen. You know what's about to happen. Just turn the TV off and be like, man, this dude do everything, man. Like, I don't want to – Roger, you better come out there with the pistol for real. You better put everybody's face down. Everybody get on the ground. I'm not playing. If you want to see tomorrow, don't move. Like that's how you got to play today. That's the only way I'm letting that fly. Okay. The next and last and final matchup, I don't have to say anything because I was right here, Sports City, Wednesday evening. Yeah, Wednesday, the cookout. I said Buffalo. Bold prediction. I can't move away from it. I just threw that as serious and then just to say it. I'm not moving away from it. These guys, a.k.a. Kansas City, and the run, even though this has to be the scariest offense that I have ever seen in my life. Listen, it's like every time a home say hype, it's like watching the Summer Olympics and the dude pulled a pistol out and it's Carl Lewis, it's Ben Johnson, it's Michael Johnson, it's Usain Bolt, it's Asafa Powell, it's Tyson Gay. It's the fastest dudes you've ever seen in your life. Trying to catch a pass. Even Kelsey, he's 6'5 and 265. He's running 4.5 40. Like, it's like, who and how are you doing this? How are you doing this? Before we get going, though, because we do got a little bit of time, though, we have a call out of 917 area code. What's your name and what's on your mind this afternoon?
Yo, what's up? This is David in Stanford. Just calling because Ty was talking about something that I love just a second ago, which was how it's proven now that Brady was the man, not Belichick, which is just so much of a surprise and just kind of awesome for me because as much as – I don't know, you guys might disagree with me, but I'm just a huge Brady fan. I'm going to be rooting so hard for the Bucks today. And if Brady gets the ball back in the last minute, oh, my God, I'm going to be – so excited. There ain't no way I'm turning it off. I hope the Bucks win. I'm picking with my heart, and I'm picking the Bucks, but I don't really think they're going to win. We'll see what happens, but I'm going to pick them just because I want them to win.
Look at this. He's going for the upset. Look, if we both win Green Bay, look at him, Barry. He's going against us. So this is the crazy part because you know,
as snuck
as
in
the quarterback.
There too. What's up, Dave? You're not going to sneak in
that. Right. At the end of the show, too. And only as a quarterback would do, here go with the quarterback and me saying Brady. And then I like what Ty said. Any other thing, you heard him the other day. He was coming for me the other day. But the quarterback, he's like, I like the Brady sucks. And this is the first time I ever heard him say that he likes Brady. Sports City, y'all getting Stanford gold. This ain't even like just World Wide Web gold. Y'all getting Stanford gold.
I like Rodgers too, though. I like Rodgers too. You know, I mean, I love those guys. I like quarterbacks. You said it. You know, but man, I love Brady, especially because we beat him twice. So it's not even like I got to worry about that. Exactly.
Oh, now, Sports City. This is 10 years of hanging on to a memory. Like this. Stop. We're talking about today. We're not talking about when we were in our 30s? Like, we in our 40s.
It is 10 years. 10-year anniversary from our last Super Bowl. You're exactly right.
I cook. Don't worry. Just sit down. Look, I got you, but I'm not going to let you do this. Not today. Okay, so like I said, I already went with Buffalo on Wednesday. I can't change that up. I can't. I really feel like Buffalo has done enough damage. Josh Allen with this super season, all of my life, especially all of the sports that I played, like that was one of my first championships I ever won was in baseball, like when in my minor league when I was like 6-7 years old, and my coach to pump us up, he said, "You guys are the underdogs. You're not expected to win. That other team out there is supposed to win. You guys are going to win today." And then we went out there and won that championship. Every time I look at an underdog situation since I was 6 till now, it's like I always like to see the underdog win. Just to see the jubilee of the favorite, like, "Yeah, we really lost today. Like, we really lost today." And it's like, if they go into Arrowhead and knock off the Chiefs in Arrowhead, it's like, this is the Super Bowl right here. To me, like, even though both games are awesome, this game right here between Buffalo and Kansas City, to me, is the Super Bowl. My popcorn is ready. I am throwing this one around the kitchen. I will start off with you first, Barry. Give me your thoughts on this game. Who do you like and why?
I still like Kansas City. I mean, Buffalo is going to be a tough out. It's going to be a good game. I think, with Mahomes, clearing the protocol, he's going to be playing. But, I'm hearing the turf toe might be the bigger issue than the concussion. So watch out for that. They're going to be down there, two running backs, but they still got that cheetah. They still got Kelsey. And this is a high-powered offense. I mean, just don't run Mahomes. You don't have to do options or nothing, running, scrambling. He can still sit in the pocket and pick them apart. I just like Kansas City at home. If something crazy happens, the Bills can obviously take the game. Josh Allen is an MVP candidate, not my MVP, but they're having a great year. Bills Mafia, I know a couple Bills fans, they're really proud of what they're doing. But I just don't see them going into Kansas City and beating the Chiefs, who should have been to 3 Super Bowls in a row, but they'll make it their second in a row. I like Kansas City 31-23.
And you know the reason why they didn't go to 3 Super Bowls? There's a
that guy named Brady, right?
Of a guy named Brady. What? Get out of here, man. Okay, so what was the score again before I keep going? Because I was running my mouth in the middle of you saying the score. Barry.
Wait, say it again. The score? 31-23.
Kansas City. Okay. D.H., your thoughts on this game, who do you like and why, and if you got a score?
I like Buffalo. It's going to win 23-16, and it's going to be Mahomes is going to be kind of not Mahomes. I've thought for a while, I feel like the Chiefs will be back, probably winning the Super Bowl next year, but I don't think it's their year. I'm picking Buffalo.
Yo, Barry, Barry, you know we don't agree on anything. Me and Dave don't agree on anything other than probably the jizzer. That's about it. Like that's about
the jizzer genius.
Right. That's about it. But he a Ghostface fan, but he'll agree with me on some jizzer. But now I got the Tom Brady out of him and Buffalo, 23-16. Wait, hold on. They said 16 points in Arrowhead? That means they shutting them down.
Andy Reid
gonna
go for it twice. No field goal.
Wow. Okay, I'm going Buffalo at 4 each. I think this is gonna be a shootout. Get your popcorn ready. 44-41, man, it's going down. No defense on the field, man. 44-41 Buffalo, man. I think the over is in effect. I repeat, the over is in full effect. Especially with Dave saying 16 points. If they could slow that offense down, this has to be the most catastrophic blow up since you guys did it in 2007, 2008 up against the Patriots. I cannot see an offense get shut down this bad. I'm baffled. Okay, so
I hope you're right. It'll be an exciting Sunday night.
I'll call you. You know, man, I don't got a problem calling your phone. But you know, when Barry, you know, when people move into the city, they get Hollywood. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta, you know, I gotta talk to a receptionist. You know what I'm saying? I gotta get through people. They got, you know, this is what I go through, man. So you know, but they special. You know what I'm saying? They special. So we are at the tail end of the show. I'm thankful that you guys came in here and did what y'all needed to do. Eat this good old food for thought. Mr. Heidi, I need a closeout from you. Plug, closeout, promo, anything that you like to say before we get away from the brunch. Dave, did you leave us? Did I lose you?
Oh, is that for me? Oh, no, nah, just I'm happy for a nice sports Sunday. Good talking to you guys.
Definitely. And last but not least, Barry, you already know what to do. Close this thing out as we shut the door here at the brunch.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, Sports City, like you said, we're doing big things. Get to the website, read our blog, post something on our me and Dave's New York Knicks, believe the hype. you know, like, we come in. You know, we're doing a lot of things on Sports City. We got some new music coming pretty soon. I got to take a listen to that. But, you know, the site is up. The follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Big shout out to some of the friends of the show, Trends in NBA, Bad Weather Fans, you know, Knicks Central. Just a lot of friends of the show out there working with us, doing some big things. You know, Go Knicks Tape, another Twitter handle. Follow us, the show. Big ups to us. So, we're doing big things, man. Just keep up in line, man. We're going to rest.
See, that's all I had to do was get the bad guys around me. Then things start flowing, man. I get the good people around me, and everybody like, Ty, you know, we got you. Know? I get the bad guys, and now they start pushing the needle. This is what I'm talking about, Sports City. I need my brothers at the end of the day, no matter what. Even if they do kick coming here and start talking that Knicks crap, I can't. You guys know I don't like the Knicks. Y'all know better than that, man. Y'all know. I don't even know which one to tell. Either one of them. Both of them know I don't like these dudes, and they talking Knicks tape and all of this other New York stuff, but I got to abide by it. But on that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again, and if they don't know, now they know.
Yeah. What I do for a living, nigga? What I eat for a living, nigga? What I live for a living, nigga? Watch it. Okay. Watch. Things just ain't the same for gangsters, but I'm a little too famous to shoot these pranksters. All of these rap singers claiming they bangers, doing all sorts of twisted shit with they fingers. Disrespecting the game, no home training the manners. I was doing this shit when you was shitting Pampers. I was moving them grams so you knew what a hand that hand was. Ducking the vans, radars, and scanners. But you knew what hard white and tame was. I was taking the turnpike, I hit with the bammers. I was nice with my hands, cause I hit with them hammers. I was pricking my finger, but you knew where the fan was. I had it laid out, but you knew what the plan was. 300 mil later, now you understand us. You ain't see us coming to Vegas, you ever seen so much sham busting one night? Grand fucked up one fight, I was on a Peter Pan bus. You was putting Peter Pan up in your room. Y'all fucking with whom? Allow me to be taught. Cowards is just now learning the shit that we taught. You niggas ain't know about a ride report, about a high speed Porsche, i.e. you niggas ain't know how to floss. So I came through the door like Eric B for press. Respect me in this bitch. You can't disrespect us cause you got a little check cut. You was sucking for so long, fucking your little neck up. Now you're too big for your britches. You got a few little bitches you think you have, but you just ridiculous. I blew breath for you midges. I gave life to the game. It's only right, I got the right to be king. Niggas that got life really like what I sing, cause they know it's really like. Niggas feel my pain. Know the shit I don't write be the illest shit that's ever been recited in a game. Words to the hyphen in my name. J-A-Y-Hoffa, the past, present, nigga, the future, proper. The holy trinity of hip-hop is us. We give Dre his props, but that's where it stops. It's the rock.
I know.